For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Mike Waldrop. I'm one of the elders at the church, and Pastor Mike LeClaire has entrusted me to do a little bit this morning. Hopefully, I don't let him down. I have one announcement for this morning. So right after the church service in the fellowship hall, if you're not familiar with where that is, it's directly on the other side of the hall, right behind the sanctuary. There'll be an event for women's ministry. So any of the women in the church who are interested in being involved in connecting with women or helping out with women's ministry within the church, I'm going to say this, and I hope Sally doesn't scold me. Even if you're just hungry, they had a lot of food. So I think even if you just if you're hungry, you could go back. But so any of the women in the church are welcome to join that right after the service this morning. So guys, sorry you're left out. It is what it is. All right. So today is an amazing day in a lot of ways, and hopefully at the end of the service, I'll explain a little bit about why it's such an amazing day beyond the things that you'll see and hear this morning. It's my pleasure to get to introduce to you Ray and Lemyai and their daughters, the Kizzy family. I had the opportunity, and it was a blessing. It's indescribable. You'd have to go to get it, to be honest with you. But it was such a blessing for me to be able to go with them to Southeast Asia and see a little bit of what they do and a little bit of what God is doing through them and the love and the joy that God has put into them and the favor that they have with everyone that they meet. I could tell you story after story, but we'll be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon, so I won't. But again, if you don't know Ray and Lemyai and Araya and Arasia, I would encourage you to get to know them. Last Sunday, I think it was last Sunday, maybe the Sunday before, someone else in the church walked up to greet them and said, "Every time I see you, my spirit sings." And I was like, "Oh, that's an amazing description, because that's exactly how I feel. I know that heaven is real, because there's a lot of people, not just Ray and Lemyai, but they certainly fit in the category, that when I see them, my spirit rises up." Right? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in the kingdom of heaven together, right? And that's the reason my spirit rises up. So, Ray, come on up, Lemyai, girls, right? They're going to tell us a little bit about their recent trip.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Mike. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. First of all, we just want to thank Pastor Mike Waldrop, and the leadership here for allowing us this opportunity to even be able to share just the amazing and wonderful things that God is doing in our life. It is not us at all. It is all Him, and we're just so thankful to be here.
So I let my wife go first this time, right? Because last time I went first, and it was waterworks all over the stage, right? So we're not going to have that today. I was told don't do that today. All right, so we just want to say thank you, guys. We went very far and wide. We went to Southeast Asia. We flew from, we drove up from Green Bay to Chicago in a crazy snowstorm. It was extremely crazy. You could tell the enemy was trying to stop us, like literally. He was literally trying to stop us. But Toyota Sienna out there said no, right? So we went and picked up Mike from his house, and then we got on the road, and all the way there, what did we do, like 45 miles an hour all the way to Chicago? It was bad. It was a blizzard, like literally coming in our face. It was bad. It was big semi-trucks all over the place. So we ended up getting to the airport, and praise God that there was no delay in the flight, right?
None.
There was zero delay. It was zero delay. It was almost, right, it was almost like God saying, son, just get there. Get to the position that I need you in. That's it. And a lot of times in life, we need to just get in the position. When God say go, go. Even if you...
Go.
Okay, all right, I'm sorry. I got off into a tangent, right? So we ended up flying from here to Istanbul, Turkey, had a nice layover there. They gave us a tour of the country, and we got back on the plane and flew straight into Singapore, right? And then we landed in Singapore, and after we left Singapore, we went into Bangkok. We went to Bangkok, and from Bangkok, Thailand, you know, God told us, make sure you keep your schedule open. Don't go there with, okay, at 10 o'clock I got to be here, and at 12 o'clock tomorrow I got to be here. No, just leave.
We done that, and we failed.
Yeah, we done that, and we failed straight on our face, right? So we left our schedules open, and we just let God flow. We just let him move, and every day he moved, and he flowed. So what we're going to do, we're going to show you a video. It's a short, what, six-minute video of what my wife put together and everything that us five went through while we were in Southeast Asia, okay? So we're going to go ahead and watch that, and then we'll come back to you after these messages.
PowerPoint.
Okay, so you may have seen some temples in that video, and that's because we were prayer walking. And prayer walking is something that's very important. And although your prayers really did help us while we were out there, prayer walking is more for being in the place and praying down the strongholds that have just been prayed over it by the Buddhist people or the Islamic people that just came to the temple. So praying those spirits back down is so important. So being able to prayer walk in places like that is just reminding Satan that he has no place and no weapon even formed against those people will prosper.
Amen. Thank you. Woo! Okay, next slide. I don't know if you guys know about the 1040 window, and we'll talk about our passion really quick, but it's basically just this rectangular geographic location on the map, 10 degrees and 40 degrees latitude. And in this window on Earth, it is the least reached group of people. And so within that window is where Southeast Asia is, and it is one of the most poorest of poorest, not just physically, but spiritually. Lots of strongholds and people who are just blinded by Satan's attacks. And so our heart is really to go and just share the word of God to those who have just never heard him before. Two-thirds of the people have never had an opportunity to even hear who Jesus is. So Ray shared this already, but we just, for those who don't know where we went, this is a map of from Singapore to Bangkok to northern, the most northern part of Thailand, where we were in Chiang Rai, which shoulder to shoulder down to Chiang Mai with Victory Church, all the way down. We flew then to Cambodia to the capital of Phnom Penh, to then driving another 10 hours by van to Strung Treng, Siem Reap. So we traveled 22,000 miles on plane, and if you can imagine, almost 2,500 miles in car, train, tuk-tuk, any type of vehicle that would get us there. We can talk a little bit about Singapore, and you can see...
Perfect. In Singapore, the population is approximately 5,600,000. And of that, probably a little bit less than 20% are Christian. So Singapore has, believe it or not, a very big Christian population regarding Southeast Asia. Because in Laos, the which is still Southeast Asia, the Christian population is like 1%. Yeah, not even 1%, is like 0.8%. And in Thailand, it's like 1.8% or something like that. So Singapore is really high up there, close to 20%. So yeah, Southeast Asia Prayer Center. This is who we met up with when we got there, two friends around the table. And they are the ones who hosted. They are the ones who invited us out and everything like that. So it just says generations praying over each other. Mark Geppert, Matt Geppert are the ones who started Southeast Asia Prayer Center, and they're father and son. So the father basically is he's been doing it for like 50 years. Yeah, about 40 years. And he just grown this thing from just him and a friend all the way to hundreds of people who are gathered, you know, in this picture and everything like that. So Soakability Church in Singapore are the ones who hosted the location. Right there it says Auntie Lewin.
Oh, let me share that one.
Okay, all right.
So Auntie Lewin, she gets the name Auntie because she's become a really dear friend of mine. During the pandemic, when everybody was at home, people weren't able to go to Bible study. And so I just met her through a mutual friend. And for about 2 years, she lives in Singapore. I live in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We ended up meeting 3 times a week at, Lord knows, 6 o'clock in the morning for 2 years doing Bible study together. Never met her ever, and Mike can share. It was like I met my long-lost sister when I first met her, and she just really took care of us. Their whole team did. He was like, you guys didn't know each other before this? It's like, no. This is the coolest thing, isn't it? A sister in Christ across the globe. So had to put that in there. And Clement is a amazing. He went to Bethel and does a lot of youth training with the kids. And so he's trained Araya up a lot with just the gift of the prophetic and a lot of VBSs around the world. Let's see. Okay. We can talk about Thailand now. So we went from Singapore to Thailand after the conference and had an opportunity to go see Mark and Gabby, who are with the Gateway Project out of Buffalo, New York. And so they are just amazing, and they have this Bible hub where they train up missionaries. And so we're really, really excited for what they're doing. We got to see their location. It is huge and amazing, and they are doing amazing things where they have different teams of missionaries from all over the world come to train there for 3 to 6 months, and then they launch them into their city. And so we are really praying for the next steps with that, and we believe that God is going to allow us to go there next to do our training. So in Thailand, we did a lot of prayer walking, and as Araya already shared, it is definitely needed. There are over 40,000 and counting temples that are there, and you saw some of those pictures of those temples. It's huge. And this was actually some photos, and I know, Mike, you saw this. This was in the airport. This is in the airport, and it's called the Churning of the Milk, and it talks about, if you could see here, the churning of the milk is in the middle, but that these are the demons and the demigods, and they are working to get this immortality milk to keep people from not dying, so to live forever.
I can talk about the temples for you guys. So the temples out there, if you really look close and actually start looking at their designs, like my dad told me, really it's a piece of art. And when I first walked into one, I was like, whoa, this is crazy. And I was just so stunned by how people could be raised up into this. You can bring a young child into there and they think it's normal and it's accustomed. But everything, if you look close at the interior, the exterior, and the designing of the temple, it's so biblical, but it's turned around. Just like inside of there, they had the candlestick. And it was six heads of candles instead of our seven that's inside the tent of God. And it's everything out there. It's so crazy because they have over 40,000 temples. Us in America, we don't even have over 40,000 churches. What are we doing wrong? Because we're obviously doing something wrong. If Satan can have that many, we need more churches. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need more churches.
Amen. Next slide. You're so cute. So the bottom left, right, whatever you see, it is the White Castle, White Temple in Chiang Rai. And what did you call it, Pastor Mike? Garden of the Galaxy something? Yeah. So if you can see really clearly, they are spirits and souls that are reaching out from the depths of hell. And it is so demonic. And they had the weeping and gnashing of the teeth. And there is over, I believe 3 million people that come every year to visit this place. Like, they make homage to come here and worship and pray. And you can see in Chiang Rai. We were in Chiang Rai. That's the next one. We can go straight to that. Shoulder to shoulder, we met with, and this is where Ray mentioned earlier, we kept our schedule open for Holy Spirit to lead us and tell us where we were going to go next in our journey. And so we met with Bill and Susie, and you can see Bill, I think Mike shared, he is from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Not by coincidence, I don't think. And so he's been out there for 15 plus years. He speaks fluent Thai. He's probably better than I am. But they have a home over there, a children's home, where they have 10 high school students and college students, where the students are from the Hill tribes. And a lot of the students that come to live with them are because they just lack access and accessibility to be able to go to school. And so a lot of these kids are traveling 2 to 3 hours every day. They would be if they didn't have a place to be able to go to school. And so he's just met a need there. The other type of like ministry that they do is HIV outreach. And so we had an opportunity to go to a remote village. Like, I cannot believe I walked up that mountain. It was steep. It was very, 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 very high, and I need to get physically fit. Oh, goodness. So we had an opportunity to pray over this specific family, and on Fridays, every week they go and they do an HIV outreach for their family. And so, yeah, their living conditions are different, as you can see, but it was just really humbling and such a great experience to be able to pray with them and bring them food and other items that they needed. Okay. You can talk
about this one. All right, so this one is, we went to Phnom Penh. So we went, we flew. She thought the night train was the best experience. Listen, listen, listen. For anybody who's over 5 feet, it is not the best experience. 4'11" and below, it's the best experience in the world, okay? So the night train, I mean, the girls enjoyed it. My wife enjoyed it. But for me, it was like sleeping in a luggage. It's like somebody opened up the biggest luggage and zipped me in, and I couldn't get out for the next 12 hours, right? No, but it was great. It was awesome. We took a train, like she said, it was a night train. We got on at 6 p.m. and got there at 6 a.m. And the train on the inside, it had a little dinner cart to where you can go into this other cart and have dinner. It was pretty cool. So we ended up getting to Phnom Penh. We ended up getting to Phnom Penh, and that pastor to your left right here,
Pastor Lim.
His name is Pastor Lim. He was in, did he sit with you, Mike? Yeah, he was in Singapore when we was with friends around the table, and Mike got a chance to know him. He's a really good guy. And he just told us while we were in Singapore, he said, hey, if you ever get time or a chance to come out to Cambodia, please come visit. And I was just like, okay, well, God told us to leave our, you know, calendars open, and we'll see, you know, if we can get up there. And sure enough, once we left Chiang Rai, where Bill was, we went to Phnom Penh, and soon as we landed in the airport, I never had this happen before, but as soon as we got off the airplane, there's him and his wife. Can you hold this for me? Sorry. Him and his wife with a card that says Kazi family, right? That was so special. Something that simple for me was so special. It was just like in the movies, right? So we get off the airplane and we see him and we give him a hug and we get into his car and he drives us and he just takes care of us. And when I say take care of us, I mean, we didn't need or want for nothing, anything, in a country where there's a lot of need and a lot of needs that aren't being met, right? So that was very special for us. And he brought us to his church, and his church started in 2020. He has approximately 50 members, and it's definitely growing. And he asked me to come up. He said, Pastor Ray. I said, wait, I'm not a pastor. Don't put that on me. Right? I said, I'm Ray. And he was just like, can you please say a sermon for us on Sunday? And I'm just like, oh man, Pastor Mike is asleep. I can't even reach out to nobody to get notes or nothing, right? So I'm all alone by myself on this one, right? So I'm just like, okay, so I'll do my best, you know, I'll just let Holy Spirit use me. And sure enough, I went up there and he translated the message of, you know, for me and everything like that. And it was amazing. We met a lot of people. Everybody just took us in like brothers and sisters and family. We were there for a week. We ended up being there for a week. And this little girl down here to the right really took to Raja. Her name is Kaka. Kaka is just, she's extremely sweet. And that's that for that one. You want to say something, Ray?
Well, I never understood when people told me this. And they're always like, Aria, you're really not the same as when you were a kid. And I was like, well, maybe I'm a little bit taller and my hair's a little bit longer. But that girl, Kaka, my dad was like, you know, you used to be like that. And she was like, touchy, touchy, gimme, gimme, eat, eat, run, run. I was like, oh my goodness. And then I didn't really realize how much I had changed since I was a kid, because apparently I was like, touchy, touchy, gimme, gimme, run, run. So I was sitting down and my parents ordered food, and it was after I got done like praying with the church and stuff, and I was exhausted at this point. And they just got a box of like chicken wings or something, and I was eating them, and they were spicy. And Kaka comes up to me, she's like, gimme, gimme. I'm like, okay. So I give her one, and then she puts it in her mouth, and she's like, oh, too spicy, and she throws it. And I'm like, you just wasted my food. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'll eat some pizza. So she goes, grabs a pizza out of the box, keeps eating it. And it's that her dad actually died. But she never, her mom just told her that her dad went away and he would come back sometime. But she's 5 and she doesn't have a dad anymore. And it's how much joy they can still have out there with their living conditions, what they have to eat, what they have to wear, and they really demonstrate, don't worry about what you will eat or wear tomorrow. Because if God can take care of the birds in the air, he can take care for you too. So it's how much joy, even a 5-year-old little girl that doesn't have a dad lives at almost like a shelter place, and she can still have so much joy to throw my chicken wings on the ground.
So they do so much. It felt like we were there for a week, but it felt like a long time. They've got about 300 students, and they have something going on every single day, and it's literally like right after school, they're in school all day in their regular public school, and then they'll come to River of Life Christian Center and have English courses, and then computer, and then Chinese language school and then Bible studies. And then they also have a ministry of sports on Saturday and Sunday. And when I say the laborers are few, it is so real. There's such a need, and there's so many souls of these kids that are, a lot of them aren't Christians. They come for the opportunity that they would not get otherwise. And because the church subsidizes so many of the after-school programs, they come, but they're getting the word. But there's not enough laborers to be able to just walk alongside or mentor every single student or every single person. And so it's just, you just see the need that's there. And we knew we would love to do another outreach there, another trip with any of you guys who feel led to come along with us. It's going to be amazing and a lot of work, but all the glory to God. Next, let's see. There was a...
This was Ray's favorite part of the trip.
No. My least. He left where least favorite part of the trip.
There was a lot of spiritual warfare. And I mean, we're laughing and giggling right now, but I will say it was rough. Before we went, we spiritually prayed. We knew there's, you know, spiritual resources, the human resource aspect, the financial resource aspect to it. And there are so many variables that go into place before you do something so big and you know you have to be called. And so for years now, we have been planning on, we knew we were going to Cambodia, we just didn't know when. And this was definitely a scouting trip for us. As you can see, we call this our golden triangle. Right up here is Ubon Ratchathani, that's Thailand. And then you have Pakse, that's a part of Laos. And then you have Strung Treng, which is a part of Cambodia. Now, our family, we have land in Pakse. And that is Laos, which is a very communist country where you are not able to evangelize. There's a lot of underground churches. We have been working on cultivating relationships for over the past 5 years. Currently, there is 1.2% Christians there. And in Cambodia, which was this area, Strung Treng, which was a part of Laos at one point, they speak the common dialect of Laotian as well, as the same as Ubon Ratchathani in Thailand, which also used to be a part of Laos, also speak the same dialect. So strategically, we were looking at where we would be going that would really, really, our headquarters. And we prayed about it, and we believe our headquarters will be out of Ubon Ratchathani because the area is a lot easier for us to travel. So yeah, we've done a lot of work as far as research in this place. Next. Here, my uncle in the white has been asking us to come for years, and he's like, just come. I can't tell you anything about it. You just have to come. So we came, we prayed, and we saw, and there's definitely, it is a remote village of about 50,000 people. It's very, very small. It does not have a mall or AC array, I'm sorry. So their primary thing is they have, so the Korean missionary started the school about 15 years ago, and they have a farm that's their primary source of income. So in Cambodia, the biggest thing is being able to have primary business and then secondary outreach, because that's the easiest way for the government to grant you visa and to work in the country a lot easier. And so we have an amazing opportunity to become English teachers out there if we wanted to. We're still praying through that. Next. There is an orphanage there that was built by U.S. missionaries back in the early 1990s. There are no longer there, and it needs a lot of work. Definitely needs a lot of work. The facility is super outdated. If you can see, that right now they have, I believe, 10 kids, 4 girls, 5, 6 boys. The house parents support everything by selling produce and soda drinks in the front of the orphanage. And so you can see it just needs a lot of help, and so there's a need there. Next. So another opportunity would be to remodel the orphanage, reestablish God's love. You can see that the Bibles are just definitely outdated. There's opportunity to purchase land, build strategically a sports complex, a tech center. These are just things that we're working through right now because we've seen it. And now that we've seen it, it's like, how can you unsee what you saw and what you've experienced? We have to do something. Next. So Ray can share this one.
All right. So Cambodia, Stung Treng. We're still in Stung Treng in this picture right here. Now, Stung Treng is rough. I can't say it enough. For me, right? Because I'm an American who enjoys air conditioning. There's not much air conditioning in Stung Treng. And it's like stepping into a sauna. It's like a rainforest. It's just like, it's humid. My girls couldn't get control of their hair. I was hearing everything. It was just frustrating, right? But the need in Stung Treng is so real, and the people have so much genuine love. It's just something that's still pulling my heart that way. Physically, my mind is like, no, never will I go there again. But I know God is definitely, you know, pulling me into an uncomfortable place so that I can help spread his love in that area, right? Because it's so needed. So we were sitting down eating, right? Actually, we had one of our drivers, we asked him, we said, hey, you know, what's a good place to eat around here? Because everywhere you look is just like dust. And we were just like, please just show us a good place, right? So he ended up dropping us off at this little, I don't even know what to, it's like a, it wasn't even a restaurant. It was like a, yeah, that's the restaurant. It was outside under tents. And he dropped us off at the corner. And he said, this place right here. And we were like, okay. So we all got out of the little tuk-tuk, which is like a taxi with no doors, right? So we got out and we go up and we ask for a menu. And they give us a menu and there's no English on the menu, right? There are no prices on the menu. They charge you whatever. Like, you know, the locals, 15 cents. Americans, $15. Right? So they charge you whatever. So, excuse me. So we sit down and, you know, we're looking through a menu and Lumiai walks over and then there's a guy who comes up to her and basically asks her, do you need help with the menu? And he spoke English, but he was from Cambodia. And we were just like, yeah, okay, great. So he ended up helping Lumiai with the menu and everything. And we ordered the food that we wanted rather than pointing out stuff, right? And, you know, he just invited Lumiai. He said, hey, if you ever get a chance, you know, to come over to my school, we'd love to have you. Because, you know, we're the only English-speaking people that's in that area at the time, right? So we were saying to him, like, ah, I'm sorry, we're leaving out tomorrow. There's no way we can come to your school. And then he was just like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe next time you come out here, you can come to our school. So to make a long story short, we end up eating our food, and we went back to our hotel, and Lumiai said, hey, babe, I'm going to go downstairs. I'll be right back. I was like, all right, cool. I'm in the hotel, and I'm just, you know, hanging out. And she comes back upstairs and say, I went and got us 4 more days here in Stung Treng.
It was Holy Spirit.
Oh, no. At the time, I wasn't trying to hear it was Holy Spirit, right? Because physically, I was like, oh, we are out of here tomorrow. Praise Jesus. My wife came up and told me we have 4 more days. Watch your feet. So I was just like, how? Why? And then she was just like, I feel God is calling us to go to this school. And I'm just like, Lord, I was this close away from this place, right? So Lumiai got in touch with him and his wife, and she was just like, we got a little bit more time out here. Is it okay if we come to the school? He was like, yeah, perfect. So we ended up going to sleep, waking up the next morning, and walking to this school. Mind you, humidity everywhere, red dust everywhere. So, you know, we're walking to this school, and we get to the school, and sure enough, he meets us at the gate, and he is so excited and so happy. And he's showing us around the school and everything, and he brings us into this room that is ice cold, everybody. Do you hear me? It was air-conditioned room. And cold water, praise Jesus, right?
They don't give you ice.
Yeah, there's no ice out there. Everything is just, you know, what they call it, room temperature. So, you know, we get cold water, we get AC, and I'm like, you know what, Lord? Well, maybe that was you talking to my wife. Thank you, right? So we're sitting down and everything, and these people speak perfect English, but they're Cambodian. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. He said, I saw when you guys sat down to eat, I saw you guys praying, and I knew you were Christian. I'm thinking to myself, we about to be persecuted. Right? And I'm just like, hey, it's for the Lord. So be it. Go do what you got to do, right? So he was just like, you know, believe it or not, my wife, she's the headmaster of this school, which is like a principal on steroids, right? It's like a super principal. Right? She's the headmaster of this school, and I'm a teacher, and I'm over the sports ministry, and this, and that, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, my wife and I, we're the only Christians in this whole school. I'm just like, really? And he was just like, yeah, you know, we're the only Christians in this school, and it's like 45, 50 staff members. He was just like, we're trying to get them converted, and this, and that, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, well, praise God. So, you know, we're amongst like-minded, you know, people, right? So I knew God was strategically putting people into our life so that we can know his presence is there and more of his presence is needed there in that area, right? So God is so on time. He's so spectacular. So this is him right here.
Sam Nong.
And this is his wife next to him. Her name is Bopa. She is extremely sweet. Extremely sweet. She's like Lum Yai, but an inch taller, right? And then this is his son. This is his son, and his son is like, he speaks English better than anybody in Cambodia, I would say. The dude is sharp, extremely sharp in English. And yeah, they just brought us in, and you know, they were like, hey, how long are you guys gonna be out here? I said, my wife got us for another 3 days and this and that. He was like, perfect. We're gonna show you around, we're gonna do this, we're gonna do that, blah, 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 blah. So
we wedding crashed.
Oh, my God.
They took us to a wedding. We had no idea who it was. And they said, just come along. You're going to have a lot of fun. I said, we're coming along for the experience. She's like, get up. It's going to be at 6 o'clock in the morning. And we did that the next day. But we've just had some really amazing encounters with God where you just can't deny his presence or his existence in that moment because we really needed it. And here's another one, not by coincidence. We randomly stopped at a coffee shop and come to find out the restaurant on the side of the road that we ate at was this young Chan's mother. And Chan, you have, yeah, Ray has his arm around Chan, and Chan happens to be the nephew of Buapa and Samnang for the school. Just out of 50,000 people, they just happened to be home from college, from Phnom Penh. We run into them, and we asked if we could pray for them because they're not Christians yet, and it was just another opportunity to minister. You just can't deny it.
Yeah, that's just God.
Should we wrap up? Okay. Here's another. You want to say? So Reja, I'll show a picture later, at the wedding, she had Lum Yais, like the fruit, me, in her hand, and she was holding it. And the coordinator of the wedding took my daughter out of nowhere and took her and put her at the front of the line, ushering in the bride and groom. To the front. She was all the way in the back, my really quiet child, and we looked at each other, and we were like, okay, go. And it was just another confirmation that God was with us through everything. It was really sweet. Go ahead.
You gave them through your guys' eyes. So here's what happened. So my sister and I got there, and we were eating at a stall, and it was super hot outside, and this one guy sees us praying, and he goes up to my mom, and We obviously didn't know how to speak their language, read their language, any of that. So he asked, do you want help? My mom was like, yeah, I want help. So then they ordered the food, and the next day, we're in a hotel. I'm ready to go to sleep. My mom says, okay, so we're going to wake up early tomorrow and go to a school. I was like, okay. So we got to the school, and he was super excited. And then he brings in his son. And like my dad said, he's very sharp in English, because normally the kids I speak to out there are like, I'm sorry if my English isn't as good, because out there they don't have the best education to learn it. And this kid is speaking just like any other person in this room. So then they're like, okay, tomorrow we're going to a wedding, and are we invited? And they're like, no, let's just go. And out here, you know, we don't do that. But out there, you just pull up and boom. So we get into the wedding, like my mom said, there's different fruits that have different meanings, and they spell out some sort of like, you are blessed, you are this, you are tall, you are short, you know, like that. And my sister's Lemyai means something. So they bring her to the front, and we start walking in, and she's ushering in the bride and the groom. And then we come back out, and the next day I go to sleep, and my dad's like, I'm so ready to leave. I'm so excited to get out of here. And then my mom, she's like, I'm going to go downstairs real quick. I'm thinking she's going to go get me ice cream, or she's going to go get me something. And she's like, we got 4 more days. So we're there for another 4 days, and then we finally got out. But it was a 10-hour car ride with kids and family. But to make the point again, they were so happy in the conditions they were in. Yeah. And it's seeing the joy on their faces, even with so little that they have. So it's amazing.
We've got so much to share and so little time, but for anybody who wants to hear more, we've got more to share. But we just can't thank you guys enough for everything that you have done for us, blessed us financially. This is a praise report. This trip could not have been possible without you guys and the Lord. Amen. It was paid in full. We came home believing that last year we said, Lord, if you want us to do this, if this is your will, it's your bill. And when we got back, he literally had a check from our previous church, and it just covered everything above and beyond. And if God can do it for us, he can do it for you guys. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you.
Amen. That's it.
So if you haven't had an opportunity to meet them, I would encourage you to talk to them after church. They have a lot more stories, a lot more things that they can share with you that God is doing in their lives, through their lives, even on this trip. And so, again, if you haven't had an opportunity to get to know them, you're missing out on a blessing, and I would encourage you to do that. So there was one more person who wanted to get baptized this morning, and I think if she could come up over to the baptismal font. We'll get ready for that. So as you know, Pastor Mike's been sharing out of the book of Exodus, and he asked me to speak this morning, which I won't do because we'll be here till dinner time. But I was supposed to speak on Exodus 14, and I was super excited about it, but I thought listening to the Kazis speak about what they went through and what they experienced was probably more important than listening to me talk about Exodus 14. But one of the really cool things, Exodus 14, if you don't know, is really about Moses leading the Israelites out of the desert. They passed through the Red Sea. Everyone, I'm sure, knows that story. And they were delivered from Pharaoh by God. And so a lot of times people read that story and they think Moses delivered the Israelites. But Moses didn't. God did, right? And sometimes people think the Israelites were delivered because of the Red Sea, but they weren't, right? God did the delivering, right? So Moses was the prophet, meaning he was doing what God told him to do and leading the people. And God used that event at the Red Sea as a sign to both the Israelites and to the Egyptians that he is God. And that was the whole point of that, right? So if you read through that, you know, God told Moses, lead the Israelites into the desert, so in the opposite direction of the promised land. And they got there, and they got the Red Sea on one side, the desert on the other, and Pharaoh and his army are closing in, right? So now they're faced with a choice. They can either follow God, they can die, or they can go back into captivity. That's their choice. And they end up following God. They go pass through the Red Sea, right? They come up out of the Red Sea. The Red Sea closes in, kills the Egyptians, and the covenant that God made with the Israelites is sealed in that moment, right? And it continues on from there. And then I just want to, I can just read it from up there. See, technology is wonderful, right? So I want to share a little bit with you, and this is part of the reason I was so excited this morning. I even asked Mike, Pastor Mike, I said, Pastor, did you plan this? And he said, no, so God must have. Right, so today we had missionaries speak, and we had water baptism, and we were supposed to talk about Exodus 14, right? And it's super exciting to me the way that God puts things together. So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, says, moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So what we see in Exodus 14 is God sent a man to lead his people in deliverance. The man didn't deliver the people. God did, right? God sent a man to lead his people into deliverance, and he delivered them through the water. So Pastor Mike talked about this. He said Moses was a model, a type of Christ, a model, right? So you see people build models of housing development, so you kind of get a feeling for what it might look like. That's what Moses was. Moses was a pointer to Christ. So God sent a man to deliver his people out of captivity, and they were delivered through the water. The water became a sign of what God had done for them, to them, and to everyone else that saw them. So I was super excited because I'm like, man, Moses was a missionary sent by God to deliver his people. And those people were baptized into Christ because of faith and their following of Moses through the sea. They went down into the water and came back up as a new creation. Exactly the symbol and the sign that we've had here this morning that we're going to have again. Right? So I just want to encourage all of you and any of you, you don't have to, you know, and Gerald talked about this a little bit recently too, right? You don't have to live in captivity. You don't have to live as a slave, right? And you can say, well, what am I captive to? What am I a slave to? I could tell you, if you don't know who Christ is, you're a captive to sin. And you're a slave to sin. And I know that because that's who I am. Without Christ in my life, I'm a captive. I'm a slave. It's only through Christ that I have freedom. That's the only way. Christ came to give us all freedom. And so I just want to encourage any of you this morning, if you don't know Christ, if you haven't experienced that freedom, if you haven't been delivered out of captivity, today is your day. This is your morning. I would encourage you, again, if you haven't been delivered out of that captivity, out of slavery, and you want to today is your day. You can raise your hand. You can come forward. We'll be happy to pray with you. There's a lot of people in this church that love praying with people. Even if you do know freedom and you just need prayer, come forward. Someone will come up and pray for you. All right? Anyone else that wants to be baptized this morning, if you want to walk through the water as a sign and a symbol of the freedom that you have and what God has done in your life, you're more than welcome to come up, and we'll take care of that this morning, too.